Welcome to the Think of Beaters Weekly Tech Podcast. This is episode 112. I'm Derek, and this episode is brought to you by Amazon. Go to thinkofpeaters.org/Amazon. Buy your stuff that way. You just buy your normal stuff. You're not paying anymore. It's not costing you anything. It just kicks us back a little money. Helps us to keep this podcast going. With us, as always, is Bob. What's up, Bob?
What's up, man? How's your Sunday going?
Pretty good. Did some bike racing this morning.
Did you win?
Got some lunch. Ready to fourth.
Well, that's fourth. Good. Getting up there. You were fifth last week, were you not?
Yeah, and I was sixth yesterday, so fourth today.
You're getting up there.
It's a positive trend, right?
You're definitely getting up there. I have not. Well, I was outside during the week, but I haven't. I haven't done anything today. It's actually really nice today. I should be down by the stadium. It's first Steeler game, and that's like massive here.
Is that football thing?
Yes, that football thing, which okay. Both of us aren't really into. At least I don't think you are. No, I'm not.
But. No.
First Penguin game, I'll be out and about, but Steeler game. Yeah, but it is nice because these first couple Steeler games, you can take the boat down there and park it. You know what I mean? And it's
right by the stadium.
Yeah, like everybody is right down there, so it's pretty cool. But I decided to stay in, and I'm working on a review all day, which isn't fun when it's nice out. But you gotta get get stuff done. You know what I mean? So
that hustle.
Yes. So we will jump right into reviews and three really cool products. Three products which all of them I really did enjoy reviewing as well. So we'll start out with the case, and it is the Ragentech Thetis window. So they had the original Thetis, which came out a few years ago, and then they've updated it to a windowed version. We've seen this so many times, especially this past year. Everybody's adding tempered glass side panels to their cases. It's a new thing.
It's nice.
It is actually really nice because, one, you have a lot of tempered glass options now, and two, because so many people are doing it, the cost of these tempered glass versions have gone down dramatically. You know, you just, like, it's, you just like this
I,
case.
I imagine
this,
there's a bunch of new suppliers.
Yeah, and because so many people are ordering and bought, like, you know what I mean? It's
driving the price down a bit.
Yeah, driving the price down. So, this is the first Ragentech case that I've taken a look at. I've been a fan of them for a while. They have some really unique cases, and they use a lot of really high-end materials. They're like sort of like Lian Li, maybe not as good, but they're right there. This case is an ATX case, but it's super small. It's one of the smallest ATX cases that you can buy. It looks like a micro ATX case sitting there. Like, it really does.
Just no frills.
Yeah. You know, great brushed aluminum design on the chassis, and then you have the tempered glass side panels on both sides. One thing that's interesting about this is that the motherboard tray is flipped. So the typical side panel, which if you're looking at the case, would be the left side as your main side panel. It's actually the right side as your main side panel, which I like because it's different, but at the same time, I don't like for the fact that now almost every graphics card you buy now has markings on the side, especially newer graphics cards, anything GeForce 10 series, all the new AMD stuff, has lights on the side, which are going to show through these side panels, and it's going to look like it's upside down.
Right, yeah. On the other hand, it allows you to display a water block if you have a water block on there.
That is very true. That is very true. You know, that's one of the things I didn't like about this case, but that's an aesthetic thing. The build quality of this case is great. Like I said, brushed aluminum, tempered glass side panels, really well done, really well thought out. The only issues that I see with this case could be airflow, depending on your setup. It only comes with one fan. And then you only have fans at the top. There's no fans in the front. That's a common theme we're seeing in a lot of cases that try to achieve this really elegant look. You don't have front fans. So that could be an issue, especially if you're running hotter components, higher-end components.
Yeah, it looks like your MSI graphics card is probably going to be pretty hot in there.
Yeah. You know, so that's something you're going to have to do. But I think that this is a really great case to build a smaller gaming PC because you can fit a full ATX motherboard in there. It does
full-size graphics?
full-size graphics. The only thing with full-size graphics is that if for some reason you have a longer power supply, you don't typically see that anymore. 850 is like I would say that's standard these days for power supply size.
So long as people are using new components.
Yeah. So like 850 is normal, and like as long as you're using a normal ATX power supply, you won't run into issues with the graphics card. But if you're using a longer one, say like a 1350 or for some odd reason you're throwing a 1500 watt in this thing, those are typically longer, and with the longer power supply, that will block that first graphics card for sure.
One thing, looking at this photo with the GPU and everything installed, it's nice that the like the it kind of flows straight from the rear fan straight. If you're doing a pull fan configuration, it pulls the air straight into your CPU and then straight into your power supply. But that means you're blasting your power supply with hot air, and then it's exhausting into the case too.
Yeah, so like that's kind of the big thing was
the airflow.
I know what they were trying to do by being able to build a full system in such a small case. I mean, this thing is tiny, but you do sacrifice airflow. You know what I mean?
It looks like it could use just a little bit of custom help.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Maybe a fan in the bottom would help.
It does support a fan in the bottom. I think it supports another 120 down there. But it's just not enough. You know.
And I would assume AIOs, you're probably limited to a 120.
You could fit a 240 in the top.
Okay. Is there room for the tubing to pass around the?
Now here's GPU the thing. There? Here's the thing, is that Rage Attack showed it with their own AIO.
Okay.
But I would believe that the Krakens would fit, the NZXT Krakens, because they have the longer tubing.
Yeah.
That's just my belief that it would work. So
you're going to need to be pretty specific before you order that.
Yeah, but I don't have any other AIOs here to test that we could see if the tubing would work.
Yeah.
But that's going to be an issue as well. So that's something you're going to have to think about. But I do think the Krakens would work on this.
Okay.
Just because, like I said, shout out to NZXT, because I would have run into a major issue with my Praxis Wetbench, because no other AIO will work with that except for the Krakens.
As far as tubing length.
Yeah. So yeah.
You kind of can't go wrong with a little bit of extra tubing, because you can almost always route it in a way where it looks good. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
But I'm sure it's a cost saving thing. So you cut off, you know, a few inches of tubing, and next thing you know, you've saved yourself a whole bunch of money at the end of production. Yeah.
But yeah, that could be an issue. There are some concerns with this case, and I think that any smart builder can look at this case and kind of see what those concerns would be.
Yeah.
If you're building, but I think it's a cool and unique case, and it's not often we see all aluminum chassis with tempered glass, right?
Right.
In this price range, it's $89.99.
Yeah, that's the real thing, is that it's really quite affordable.
Yeah. And that is, again, aluminum tempered glass, full ATX build. And it looks awesome, in my opinion. I like the look of the case. So,
is the fan RGB?
No. It's just that single color.
Okay. I mean, it's a cool looking fan.
Yes.
It's kind of too bad that you're stuck with that.
Yeah, you're stuck with that color. Yeah. So, it's like I said, it's a cool build, and it's a different build. It's something that, was different for me, because I'm used to these normal, I would say, cases. So this is just a little bit different. So it's cool. I enjoyed it. For the first case, their first case for me checking out, I was impressed with the quality and and all that. And I have another one here, which is much bigger, and we'll be taking a look at that in a little bit. Nice. So I'll let you know how that one is as well. So. Cool. That was very cool. One thing I didn't like, the tempered glass was just a little too tinted for me. Some people might like it, some people won't. If you look at the pictures in the review, even with an RGB CPU cooler and LED memory and that fan, it's not lit up a lot in there.
Yeah.
I would suggest, if you are going to do this, get an RGB strip in there now, so you can light up your entire system.
Yeah.
So when the system's off, you can barely see inside.
It's pretty dark.
Yeah. So definitely check out the review. Like I said, $89.99, can't go wrong. It's a really cool case, so definitely check it out.
Nice.
And we'll go from there to, which is crazy because I never thought I'd like this keyboard. And we talked about it at the end of last week's podcast, but this has turned out to be, I think, my favorite keyboard that I've reviewed this year. And I've taken a look at some really nice keyboards.
Yeah.
So this is the Drevo Calibre, and it's a 71-key mechanical keyboard. And like I said, we did talk about it last week, but 71 keys is basically a 10-keyless design without the function row. So you don't have the function, you know, F1 through F12. Mm. You don't have those.
Yeah.
Those are cut off. So it makes it a really small and compact keyboard. I got the white version, which I love. I think that a white mechanical keyboard sitting on your desk, all lit up, which just looks awesome. Really great. The keyboard is really well made, really high quality. It has this metal top plate that keeps, you know, so you have like no flex in the keyboard whatsoever. I got the version that has the blue switches, and if you take the switches out, they're named Drevo switches, but I believe they're a Chinese company called Omer. I can't even say it. I forget what they're called, but they're
Otemu.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. So they're basically like a Cherry MX knockoff. And the big thing that I think that's important about this is, yes, they're not Cherry MX, right? But the one thing that Drevo did with this keyboard is they got the cheaper switches, but they got the more expensive PBT keycaps. And I talked about this on my Cooler Master review of their PBT keyboards. These keycaps make a world of difference. It's so hard to explain. It just feels so much better. It feels like tougher and better. And like, I don't know if you've ever like felt, you know, like even on your keyboard that you're using right there, if you feel the keycaps, they're like, if yours are probably like ABS plastic, they kind of have that more plasticky feel. These have like a tough, like a really good feel. Like it just feels high quality. And again, these just make all the difference. I love typing on this keyboard. It feels so good. Like it just feels, again, it's so hard to explain because like people can just take this with a grain of salt. They're like, oh, whatever, you know. But PBT keycaps, if you have a keyboard that you love, go online and buy PBT keycaps for it and you'll love it. You'll love it so much more. I'm telling you, these make all of the difference. I'm telling you. You know, it's just it's really cool. And one thing that's also cool about this keyboard is that it can be used wirelessly, which is something you don't often find with mechanical keyboards. So this is Bluetooth keyboard. You can connect up to 3 devices. Works really easily. And it worked well. As some people that I've read, they had lag issues. They've experienced lag issues. I didn't in my case. Didn't have any lag issues. You know, it's cool.
I guess that's probably down to interference, actually.
Yeah. You know, and you can connect it to a tablet, you know, and this is great because this could be like a travel keyboard for you because it's small enough. It really is small enough. Yeah. And, you know, if you have your laptop, but, you know, typing on a mechanical is so much better than any laptop keyboard. And, you know, this could be easily could be a travel keyboard, you know.
Yeah. Maybe Drevo wants to sponsor the CES team.
I know. Give us all these keyboards.
Some keyboards.
Yeah, these are just awesome. I really like. I never thought. I've said this before. It's like I'm a full keyboard guy. Like I like big keyboards with the included wrist rest and everything. Full number pad. Like that was me. And then I tried this, and I'm like, I don't want to take it off my desk. I really don't. I just really really like it. It has some really cool RGB modes as most keyboards do. I really don't want to go into that much because that's kind of standard these days, you know what I mean?
It is worth noting it has software though.
Yeah, it does have software now. So when they first sent us the keyboard, it did not have software. Now it does. So it can be fully customized to your liking easily. You can also reprogram every key on the keyboard. You can set macros. You can do everything that you would want to do with the keyboard that has software, which is nice. And it's their first version of software, so it's not the best. Like, it doesn't compare to Corsair's or like Razer software or anything like that, but it does the job in it. You'll be able to have more than just a, you know, keyboard without the software. So
nice.
So yeah. And the kicker is that this keyboard is $60.
Yeah, I just saw that. That's pretty phenomenal.
Yeah, $60, RGB, mechanical, wireless, super small, good build quality. Like, I'm super impressed with this. And this is from a company that emailed us out of the blue. I had never heard of.
Yeah. Which we get a lot of those in.
Yeah, and we get a lot of those
most
in typically.
Most of them are questionable.
Yeah, and a lot of the times we don't even entertain it. But the keyboard looked cool, and I went on YouTube and I saw some video reviews and I liked it, so I decided to check it out. And it's become my favorite keyboard so far this year.
Nice.
So, yeah.
Yeah, it looks worth trying, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, $60, like, yeah. You know, most RGB keyboards are at least 100. And then you can go up from there. You know, yeah. Some are close to 200, you know, getting into real crazy ones, but
certainly, yeah.
Yeah. But $60, that's, you know, it's a great, great thing. It's just a great little keyboard and I like it a lot. So definitely worth checking out.
Yeah.
Yeah. So finally, we will move on
yeah,
to, yes, moving on to not as much of a PC related product, but it could be, this is a 10-port USB charging station we're taking a look at from Unitech, and I have so many USB devices, it's crazy. I don't know how many you have.
A good handful.
But I have a lot, and I know you have that, was it an 8-port charger that we both got?
Yeah, I'm not even sure what brand it is. It just does a really good job.
Yeah. And, you know, if you have a lot of USB devices, whether they're phones, tablets, I have so many of those portable batteries, too, because
yeah.
I just have them. And what's, the reason I have a lot of them is because, like, they work for my camera.
That's
you know, like
extremely useful when you're on the go with your camera.
Yeah, for like the Sony's, like you can charge it. Yep. Like, but like, say we're at CES in between meetings, I can just charge it. You
do
know
it every
I mean?
Day. Every
yeah.
Day.
So I have a ton of USB devices, and with a typical multi-port charger, you have cables everywhere. It's a mess. So Unitech has this 10-port USB charging station that basically organizes everything, which. If you're a neat freak, this is you're going to love this because it basically allows you to stand all the devices up and organize them in a way that they're all connected and that you don't have to worry about anything.
Yeah.
You know.
I think it goes a little beyond even being a neat freak. It's just like declutter your life.
Yeah, it declutters everything. It declutter, you know, it fixes the cable mess that you might have. It just makes things nice.
Yeah.
And again, this is 10 ports. You can do all, you can do a total of 8 ports at the full 2.4 amps. So a lot of these chargers, like they'll be able to do like one port at 2.4 amps and the rest are go down to 1 amp, but this
mm-hmm.
gives you at least 8 ports with 2.4 amps, mm-hmm. which is super fast charging. And then it also has two quick charge 3.0. So if you have a newer device, like a Qualcomm, supported device, that has quick charge 3.0, you'll be able to charge the devices super. Does your phone have that?
Yeah.
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 So it's quick charge 3.0. Yeah, so you have two of those ports as well.
Nice.
So it's just a cool little device, and it's like $65. That's about the going rate for something around this. You know, pretty decent quality,
yeah.
Not super high end or anything like that, but it's going to get the job done. And for me, it just solves so many problems.
Yeah.
Multiple chargers in multiple different rooms. This just solves it all and puts it all in one. In one easy place, I can grab a charger, go. You know what I mean? I don't.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Looking at the photo with your devices, and the only thing that I would like want to see is like some sort of cable retention system.
Yeah. Well, the thing is a lot of people do is they get like the short cable, like the one or like the 2-inch cables for these.
Oh yeah.
So they go right in. You
yeah.
can do that. I just didn't feel like buying another pack of cables because I have a million here.
Right.
Yeah. So if this doesn't come with any charging cables, I mean, obviously your device should come with a charging cable.
Yeah.
But a lot of people, what they do with these is they'll get like a really short, like I said, 2 or 3 inch cable, so it just boop right in. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Makes
yeah.
sense.
Yeah. And those are like, I think I even said you can get like a 5-pack of short cables for $7.40 on
yeah.
Amazon. So
yeah, cables are nothing.
Yeah.
When
so,
you buy online.
And what's great is we'll be launching our video review of this coming up hopefully this week. And with that video review, we will be giving one of these away.
Nice.
So
nice.
Another giveaway. We are still running our Cooler Master giveaway, which I believe ends in a week and a half. Something like that. So we'll be giving in this away. So what we're trying to do is coming up, obviously holiday season's coming up, so we're trying to do a lot of giveaways for you guys to kind of get you guys some gear. So we'll be giving one of these away as well.
A little early Christmas.
Yeah, so definitely stay tuned for that. And that wraps up our reviews for this week. We'll move on to Case Mod Friday first. We have two articles, but Case Mod Friday, in this build, I have to say, And I said this about another build, but this build is just out of control. This is, and it was crazy. It's not technically a scratch build. It's built on top of the
bullshit.
No, if you go to the build log, you'll see it's built on top of the Thermal Take Tower 900. Tower 900 is in there somewhere, and but this is called the TTX ROG Mechanicore, and it looks like a big tank mech thing. Yeah. And what's crazy is it's all functional. Like, it really is. It's a real computer.
Well, the PC, yeah. It is, yeah. A PC in there, yeah.
And the quality of this is, like, it looks real. You know what I mean? Like, it looks like
In what way?
Like, it looks like it. You know what I mean? Like, it looks like a real mech thing.
Okay, sure, yes.
Yeah.
It's preposterous. Bob loves these stupid builds.
It's not very they're functional.
Like, they're like PCs. They're PCs to like look like guns or tanks or whatever. Yes. Bob can't get enough of them. Like,
yes.
It's a different genre of the case mod. I'll give it that. It's very creative, and it's,
yes,
a ton of work, no doubt. Like, this did not just start building this thing. You had to
design. One thing that I've seen with these as the years have gone on is now these modders are really including, like, there's water cooling all through this, right?
And yeah,
it's all functional.
You got to give them props.
And if you look, the graphics card is all the way at the top by that big gun, like
into the big gun, right?
Is it, yeah, in the back of it? It's in the back of it. Yeah, it's in the back of the big gun. But, like, there's water cooling that goes all throughout this thing, and I think it's cool because you didn't have to do any of that, right?
They could have just built a Mac-looking thing with a case inside it.
Yeah, so I think that's...
Which we've seen. Yeah.
I think the quality has gone up, and there's even channels built into, like, the side of the mech and all this kind of stuff. Like, it's just really cool.
It's a ton of work. It's just, like, sort of absurd.
It's very absurd. This is just made for... This was part of the Case Mod Invitational 2017. Yeah.
An attention grabber. We can give him that.
Yeah, we'll probably see this. I would expect this would be at CES.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know how they're
in one piece. Like,
yeah, that's...
I see this thing just breaking when you ship it.
Yeah. Oh, but, yeah.
Like, give them the creative points, no doubt. Like, they went for it.
Yeah. Yes. We actually.
I'm just a man that likes my. I like a computer case that still looks like a computer case.
Yeah, me too. And the thing is this guy, he has a bunch of videos and stuff, and he has, like, a room that he has, like, because he's done a couple of these really crazy ones, and he has, like, his computer set up and, like, him playing games, and, like, it's just this big monstrosity sitting next to him. It's kind of funny.
Yeah.
But the builder is Reaper Von Case Mods. We featured a couple of his builds previously. And he's out of maybe Hong Kong or Thailand. I forget.
It's gotta be Thailand or Hong Kong. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is sort of that, like, South Asia thing.
Yeah.
Southeast Asia. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but very cool. Just a load of work, and I thought it was just, like, I haven't seen anything like to this degree before. I don't think. So very, very cool. Definitely check that out. And as I always say, we have a full list of mods going back at least 3 years, if not longer. Probably longer.
You know what I want to see? Okay, you know what will impress me? One of these, but with motors, where, like, the parts actually move and stuff.
That would be cool.
Like, if the wings came up on their own and the gun turned, or, like, the turret actually turned.
Yeah.
Then you'll have me.
Okay.
That'll be cool.
I'll tell this guy to build one for
you. It'll happen. Where else do they have to go with it?
Yeah, exactly. That would be very cool.
What else
but also, we have a worst PC setup. So a little late in the month, but I realized that it's the beginning of the month. And we do these at the beginning of the month. So this is where we go out and find just really bad PC setups. People just are moving, or they just kind of do with what they have, which a lot of these are kind of just do with what they have, which is kind of funny.
Trash parts.
Yeah. You know, and it's just cool to see what people come up with, or, like, what they do to have a PC set up. You know what I mean?
It's also kind of gross to see the way some people live.
Very true.
No offense, I guess, but...
Oh, yeah.
Do better for yourself.
Yeah, some people are really bad. A lot of them are, like, I like the ones where, like, like kids are home from college and they don't have like a desk or anything, but they find like they're like in their closet or something playing video games. It's kind of funny.
Yeah. But like the second photo on here, like that's just dirty.
Yeah.
Like what is that, bottles of cough syrup all over his desk? Like what's going on there?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. Some of these are questionable. We see some very odd things.
Yeah. Lots of bongs.
Yes.
But so depending on which state you're in, it's legal or illegal.
Yes. this is just really cool, and it's just cool to see what people do.
Yeah,
I think
it's funny. Yeah.
Yeah, and a lot of it's really funny, and the best thing is it makes you feel so much better about your setup. You're like, people are living worse than me. Yeah. You know, so we have that, and like I said, we do that every month, once a month, so you can check out that as well. We have a whole section, so you can go in there and see all of the worst ones that we covered. So
cool.
So we will move on to news, and we'll start out with some GPU news. And some interesting GPU news this week is that we could have a GTX 1070 Ti coming.
This is what happens when you fail AMD.
There's no reason, and we talked about it, there's no reason for NVIDIA to release Volta or even talk about it yet.
Yeah.
Because the Vega cards just don't compete with the 10 series. But the Vega 56, it was the true winner out of the Vega series, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. It did pretty well, and it's a good contender against the 1070. So speculation is NVIDIA will release a 1070 Ti that will provide better performance. It was sitting, obviously, in between the 1070 and 1080, and a better performance to power efficiency ratio compared to the Vega 56 card.
Which won't be very hard to achieve.
No. You know, and then some of the rumors are that it's obviously going to have higher clock speeds, but that it might even use GDDR5X.
It'd be a smart move.
Yeah, so...
I mean, something to make it actually different.
Yeah. So
otherwise, I just see it being a higher clock 1070, right? I mean...
Correct.
What else do you do?
Yeah. Yeah, so there's really not much you could do, but it's just NVIDIA's way of like, okay, here's a newer card that outperforms the 56, and it's better, it's more efficient,
has same price hopefully,
has newer GDDR5X, they'll bump the 1070 down to an even more affordable price.
Yeah,
and you know what I mean.
Yeah, slide this in like 10 bucks more than the original 1070 price and call
it
a day.
Or something. Yeah, so pretty cool if they do it. These are all just rumors.
Yeah.
But a lot of these rumors
come from somewhere.
Yes So talking about something awesome in the graphics card scene is we've been talking about it for months, is that the mining issue makes it so hard for us gamers to get cards. It just does. You know, so what Micro Center is doing is that if you want to buy graphics cards from them, if you want to buy three or more, they're going to be $10,000 a piece. And this is just a way to ward off miners. I mean, it really is. I don't know what kind of... what they're doing as far as different orders, you know what I mean? If they see somebody ordering five different orders of the same five graphics card, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's what I was saying. What kind of idiot still orders three then?
Yeah, but I don't know if they're going back and, you know, maybe not
multiple orders or something.
Yeah, possibly they're doing that. But I think this is just a good way to ward off. Again, just like the stickers that we saw on the cards and all that kind of stuff, like, this is just another tactic, which may not be effective, but we just like it in general.
One. I'm just kind of browsing Newegg, too. They've got a Radeon Vega 56 that can only be purchased with a combo. So, well, not everybody wants to buy like other PC parts. This definitely limits the miner from buying it.
Well, that's what AMD did, is they had their combo packs.
Okay.
That was one of the big things when Vega launched, is they had these combo packs that came with, like, I don't know if they came with
motherboard and a processor.
Motherboard, processor, and then some came with a screen as well. Okay. Like, there was different packs that you could get. That was a way to, because
that's a good deterrent.
That was,
so long,
but
as you actually need those parts.
Yeah. You know, so, but I think again, it's just a good thing on Micro Center saying screw you miners. Like, we want these products in gamers' hands. We, you know what I mean? Who are actually gonna? I mean,
somebody's standing by the gamer.
Yeah. So, I like it. Very cool.
Yeah.
Then we will talk about AMD is that Raja Kaduri, who is the head of the Radeon Technologies Group, he's taking a sabbatical, which is weird.
Is he taking a sabbatical, or did they send him on one?
That is true, too. I would say, at least in the consensus of almost everybody I talked to, the Vega launch wasn't great.
Right.
One, we had the mining issue, which nobody could get the cards. Then you had, when the reviews did come out, the performance didn't beat the 1080 Ti. It wasn't as competitive. It ran hotter. All of those issues. And then you had the pricing issue, which we talked about, too, where like the cards were way too expensive at retail stores, which doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. And they didn't control the market.
Yeah, so it hasn't been good. So that he is he's taking a multi-month sabbatical for what he says is to spend time with his family. And he will
which
be back.
Which could very well be true, right?
Which could very well be true. It could be in... He's supposed to be back in December. We'll see if he's back. I don't know. But that's a long time. And that's like prime time, too, because... You know, right now is like right when holiday season started, you would think they'd be gearing up and doing different things for holiday season.
Yeah, but on the other hand, he's in a position where he's not really, that's more of a marketing thing, right?
True.
And he's in a product development, so he cycle and should be just before the next cycle begins.
Yeah.
He's back, hopefully, you know, hopefully.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, there's no doubt, though, that Vega... I mean, Vega failed.
Yeah.
You can't... You can say whatever you want internally to make... You know, you gotta have morale. You gotta build morale, etc. But, I mean, as far as, you know, we're all concerned, as the consumer is concerned, Vega failed. So, like, maybe he's getting a little time off to think about whether he's wanting to run that group still.
Yeah, so speculation is that he won't be back. Your speculation as far as he got sent on sabbatical, don't know. We don't know, but it's just weird. That's not something you typically see.
I think that just general feel, AMD doing the best they've done in years, right?
Correct.
CPU is basically crushing it for them, regardless of how you want to like judge things. They're crushing it. GPU, not so much. Typically, when you know you have a situation like this, you're going to see a change in leadership. So that could be very well what this is.
Yeah, so we'll see. We'll obviously let you know when he comes back in December, if he does come back. I'm sure we'll post something on the site about it, so definitely just stay tuned for that. Also talking about AMD on the CPU side, this is actually really cool, and I really enjoyed reading this whole story, is that Ryzen Threadripper was designed by engineers in their spare time.
Right.
How awesome is that? That's not something you see often from a big company like AMD or anybody in the CPU space, really.
There's usually not enough freedom.
Yeah, there's not. There really isn't. So basically, AMD knew the power of Ryzen. They knew what it could do, and we talked about what it could do and how it was such a leap in performance compared to previous architectures from AMD. And a bunch of people in the team kind of formed like a Skunkworks and were like, we want to build this awesome high-end part for gamers, for enthusiasts. Like, we want this high-end part.
A part that you actually wanted to buy.
Yeah, a part they wanted to buy and use. And how are we going to do this? How are we going to make this possible? And they come up, you know, they had this thing going and they were doing designs and they figured out how they could do it. They took it to Jim Anderson, who is the SVP of Computing and Graphics. And he loved the idea, and I assume they got the budget and everything else they needed to get it done.
Yeah.
But
they essentially built this thing without approval.
Yeah, and it's cool because this is a part that came out that's competing with Intel on the high-end desktop side that wasn't even in a roadmap or anything.
Yeah, it's sort of like it's kind of like garage ingenuity, right? This is like Apple starting up from and Microsoft starting up from the garage, right?
Yeah, that's what I like about this story.
Early day stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. It's very cool, and it's just like, you know, if you do have an idea, go for it, because it could be something awesome. And
I
haven't tested the Threadripper parts, but I've heard so many people talk so great about them. And how they're competitively priced, and they give you great CPU performance, especially if you're doing video-related things. You know.
Especially considering the developmental cost is like essentially next to nothing.
Yeah.
For those parts, they just figured out how to take two other parts and put them together.
Exactly. So I think it's really cool. We have the link to the whole, the article was from Forbes. We have the whole link in our article, so you can definitely check it out. And I would say just read that whole article. It's very cool. Very cool. It's not, this is just not something you see in today's marketplace. Like, you just don't.
Yeah, I would say most of the time, any engineer or anybody else is just tasked with too many other things to go into a full project like this on their own. Not only that, but it's sort of risky because, I mean, it was their own time, I suppose, but if you do fail, it's, you know, that doesn't help you.
Yeah, no, not at all. Yeah, and it's like, yeah, but we're working on this thing. You want to give me this budget? Like, you know? you know, yeah. So yeah. So, on the Threadripper side, famous overclocker and delitter, Durbauer. We said this last week. I don't know how to say his name.
You should Google it.
Yes. He delitted a Threadripper chip, which, if you've never seen it, it's actually really cool, because you have the four separate dies on there.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah, so definitely not an easy chip to delid, actually. He had to throw the thing in the oven and heat it up to 240 degrees. I assume he killed the chip, or 220 degrees Celsius. I assume that kills the chip because, A, it's breaking the solder that holds the heat spreader, but that's also going to break the solder that holds the die.
The dies in,
silicon.
Yeah.
And 220 Celsius is quite warm for a processor.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty much twice the thermal limit, so.
One thing that he did see was that there's four dies.
Yeah.
Not two.
Not dummy dies in there, yeah.
Yeah. And that he thinks that there could be a 32-core desktop chip in the future.
Yeah. The interesting thing, though, is why did they even stick them in there, then?
I don't know.
Doesn't that seem like a waste of money?
That's how,
maybe there's a thermal reason for it or something.
Yeah, that's how a lot of chips are, though, because they just have the dies disabled. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but, like, why would you put a die in and disable it that when you could just put, like, I don't know, like copper, right? Or something. But maybe there is a thermal issue where it's not going to spread.
There's definitely some reason why it's designed that way. But it's really cool to see these dies, like...
Oh, these are really cool. Click through the pictures on this article, guys, because, like, it's really cool to see them. It really, like, shows you the scale of a microprocessor, right? Like, you get in there and you can see that these are tiny and, like, there's so much packed in there and all the connections. I mean, we know this already, but it's just really cool to see.
Yeah, it's really cool to see.
Yeah, with all four of them, it kind of accentuates it.
Yeah.
So I assume that the bluer ones are the working dies and the red ones are the non-working dies.
Correct.
And he cleared them off, yeah.
Yeah. That's still really crazy, though.
Yeah.
Really cool to see. If you're like a tech head, that's just something awesome to see.
Yeah.
So.
Dude, all the baked silicon is all crap. Yeah, these are better than dead.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, it's Threadripper, so, like, it's a bargain part. It's a more affordable part, so you might as well bake it and see what's inside.
I mean, that's its job.
Yes.
So very, very cool. So we'll move from the AMD side to Intel. We have some i7-8700K news. First is that it showed up on the Geekbench database, which is database for the Geekbench benchmark. And what's cool is this is a retail chip. Is the final version of the chip. What that means is that this thing is coming. If retail chips are out there, that means that they're coming very soon. And it was running on an EVGA Z370 chipset based motherboard. That's all we really know. You know, on the board, it had a single core score of 5,773 and a multi score of 24,260.
Yeah.
If you look at these scores, the single threaded test, beats the Ryzen 7 1800X because it has the higher
clock speed.
Yeah, it has a higher clock speed.
It is probably a more efficient part, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, and the multi-threaded did score below the Ryzen 7 1700 or Ryzen 7 1800X because of the fact that that has two more cores. This is a 6-core part, 8-core part. That's kind of...
Yeah, you know, you're simply doing work.
Yeah.
Cores do the work, so...
Yeah. So cool to see that. And also, the chip was run through Cinebench R15, which is a benchmark that we use here at Think Computers when we do our CPU tests as well. And single threaded, it did really well. It scored 1,230 points, which is pretty high, which makes it faster than quad core chips before it, and even faster than 6-core high end desktop chips because it has that higher frequency. So it's beating older, older chips like 5820Ks and things like that. In the single threaded test, it scored 196. That makes it faster than older 6-core high-end desktop chips as well, because we have the faster clock speeds. And then obviously,
and more mature architecture.
Yeah, and more mature architecture. We don't know the performance compared to a Core i7-7700K, but it's like the single threaded, the 7700K probably will be better, just because the 7700K does have faster clock speeds.
Yeah,
You know, but still,
it doesn't mean that you can't overclock that 8700K.
True, very very true.
Just don't know yet.
So yeah, these are
this part. I want to buy this.
Yeah, it comes out.
I want an 8700K.
It comes out October 5th from everything that we've heard, and it would be around $380. So,
$380 is a little steep, though.
Wasn't $379 the retail on the 7700 when it came out? I believe it was.
It'd be up then if it was, because it used to always be the high end, like set, whatever non high end desktop part was always like in the 340s.
Let me look here. I'm sure I put this in my review. I don't know.
The price? I would think so.
I would think I put it in my review. let's see. Let's go to the... Did I have it even listed? Oh, $339.
Yeah,
sure, right. Yeah, $339. So, but that's speculation on price. We don't know.
Yeah.
So.
I just... don't tell me that I got to pay more for more cores. This is a replacement part. This is just the next step. I don't need to pay more for it.
True.
I guess that's my point. I shouldn't have to.
That's a very good argument. I agree with that.
Yeah.
So we will move on here and
look at some sweet motherboards.
Yeah, except for my monitor just turned off.
That's a problem. All right, yeah, I
came back now. I literally have no clue what just happened. I was just about to stop the podcast and be like, dude, my monitor just like broke. But it's really weird. It's running on sometimes it happens on DisplayPort, but I'm like running on HDMI now. It's
really. Because I run on DisplayPort and have zero issues.
Ah, could be mine. This computer, we'll talk about at the end of the podcast. This is getting up there. It's getting too old. So three Z370 motherboards were leaked this week. And the first ones are the ones from Aorus. So they'll have their whole lineup. Pretty simple if you followed Aorus before. So at the low end, you'll have the Z370 Aorus Ultra Gaming. That is just, you know, their lower end, kind of get into the Z370 chipset. It looks really cool. Did you notice on the board it has the Aorus logo on the board?
No, yeah, it does, doesn't it?
That's a new update.
The screening of the board, I think, is the thing, right? It's a new must-have item. Seen a lot of it.
Yeah, we have seen a lot of it.
Or we're going to, I should say.
Yeah. I think it's one of the coolest things about this. Even though you're not going to see it because your graphics card's going to cover it, but I don't know. It's just me.
Yeah, you might though.
Yeah.
I think for an entry level board.
Well, this is their really entry level game. This is their entry level Aorus board. So it's like the entry level ROG board. You know what I mean? It's.
Yeah, it'll still be like right around the $200 mark, I would think.
Yeah, probably.
Which is, I mean, it's a good looking board for that.
Yes. Yeah, I like it. Moving on, we have the Z370 Aorus Gaming 5, which is a little bit different color design. It's kind of more silvery, which I kind of like.
Mm-hmm.
This
is a different look.
different look, different, a little bit more features, a little bit more RGB in it. But I do like it. And then we have the Gaming 7, which should at least sit at the top, unless they should have a Gaming 9, because they've always had a Gaming 9. I have all the Gaming 9s here. But as of right now,
do it this time.
Yeah, they should do a Gaming 9. I think they will. I don't know if it'll be ready for launch, but I know that they will have. They at least should have a Gaming 9. Again, more RGB, more features, more M.2s on this. One thing that I am noticing is that even on the entry level board, you have two M.2 slots. So again, we have those more downstream PCI Express lanes, so you will have more M.2s. The other two boards actually have three.
The 7 gives you a heat spreader. And is that a PLX chip on the 5 and the 7 above the first PCI Express slot?
I don't know what that is. That looks like,
looks like a PLX chip.
Turbo B clock. That's the Turbo B clock chip. That's not a PLX chip.
Well,
if I was like, that's a really, because that would be like the Gaming 9 feature would be the PLX chip. And probably they would probably put the PLX chip under some type of heatsink, under the PCH heatsink. That's where we've seen it before.
Sometimes not though.
Yeah, that's something we're not seeing as much either, to be honest.
People just aren't making use of it.
Right? Yeah, well,
I mean, in an SLI, it's helpful. In dual card SLI, it's helpful. Tri and quad, it's necessary. Single slot, it's actually slower. So
yeah,
you take your pick.
Yeah.
I think most rigs are what? They're single slot now, wouldn't you say?
I would say most
people are building. Yeah.
I mean, the new one that I'm building, I'm going with one graphics card.
Yeah.
And it's 1080 Ti, and that's what I need for 4K. I mean.
Yeah, I mean, yes, you can buy more, and yes, people will buy more, but they'll probably just go high-end desktop for that.
And the thing is, you have to think about too, is that you're getting 16 lanes, right? And if you're doing two cards, it's still X8 a card.
Yeah, who wants X8 a card?
I know, I'm just saying that. You know, because if you put that PLX chip on this, I mean, that bumps up the price significantly.
Sure. Good utilization, good GPU utilization is worth the price, though.
True, for the right person.
If you're going for that multi-card setup, it's 100% worth it.
And it looks like all of these have good audio on them as well.
Yeah.
And that's one thing Aorus does better than most people is the audio. So they take, especially in their Gaming 9 boards, it's like the highest end audio you can get.
Looks like the 5 has 5 channel and the 7 has 7 channel, I'd guess, based on the caps.
Possibly
included caps there.
Yeah, so very cool stuff to see, and can't wait to see these when they come out. Hopefully it's October 5th, as we've been hearing. So on the MSI side, we have a more not as high end. It's their Z370 Crate Gaming. So their Crate series is sort of like their mainstream gaming series, possibly.
Yeah. It's more entry level.
Yeah, MSI doesn't have things as defined. I don't know.
They kind of just make boards.
Yeah, they do have their like. Yeah, it's just so weird sometimes.
I'm sure they know how their layout is, but it's hard for us to decipher.
So this is a more entry level board. Crate design. I really don't like the designs on the heat sinks and throughout the board at all. Whatever that is.
The dragon scales.
Yeah, I don't like that.
They did a really bad job of it. They could have done a really cool board and had it like really well covering. Like if you look at the box, it's like scaled on the whole thing. If they would have done that with the whole board, like the whole PCB, I think you could have done something cool with it. But the way it is, it just kind of.
Yeah, but again, this is their lower end offering.
Yeah,
that's all I can say. It's kind of boring.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. So we have that one, and then we have one from Gigabyte. So this is not their Aorus brand. This is just normal Gigabyte. So this is their more entry level, and this one is their Z370 XP SLI.
Yeah.
So
again, the same shape of a IO cover.
Yeah. So the big IO cover, white and black PCB, a lot of white on it. Yeah. It's like I said,
In the right build, that would look really good.
Yeah.
No RGB though. Well, no RGB lit up, I guess.
Yeah, I think the only RGB thing you're going to get is the right by the audio. That will be RGB.
Okay. But it'll still have headers, I'm sure. RGB logo on the box.
Yeah, but that could be for that. But there is a header, I believe, in the bottom. I think I see it.
Okay.
There should be at least one header. Usually most boards, even older boards, have one RGB header from at least in my experience.
Standard feature now.
Yeah, so those are the three boards. And then Colorful released this board.
Well, everybody else is doing real things.
Yeah, that has 8 PCI slots. And we've seen Asus did this with their B250 mining board.
Yeah.
Which put the slots in an ATX form factor.
Yeah.
This puts this in a ATXXXXXX form factor.
There's not a case that this fits
in. Yeah, there's not a case. So basically what they did is they extended the board down to fit 8 graphics cards, 8 dual slot graphics cards together.
Yeah.
On one board. So you could basically pick this. Well, no, you couldn't pick it up because you still need your power supply and all that.
Yeah.
This really doesn't make sense. I was trying to justify like why this makes sense and it doesn't. Well, because most people,
I mean, it sort of looks like mining rigs when they're laid out, you know.
Yeah, but
the extension strips.
But I think that I think the cards are going to be way too close together.
Mm,
you know,
yeah.
Especially if they're going to be way too close together. Most people put their cards in racks. You know.
Yeah.
This just doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Mean,
it's really odd because it looks like it might be like micro or mini width, but then the length of it is like super long.
Yeah, it only supports laptop memory too.
Oh, it does. You're right.
Yeah.
But I mean, yeah, it's because it's not really needed. But
yeah, it's not. And it does have an M.2 slot on there, so you know, one SATA, one M.2,
a whole bunch of power connectors.
Yeah. I really think you're
still going to need to connect the card's PCI connector. They're PCI connectors, right?
Yeah, that's just extra power for the board.
This is just to stabilize the board.
Yeah.
You're going to need... Dang.
Well, if you're running 8 cards, you need multiple power supplies anyways.
Well, yeah.
I think Asus's implementation is much better.
I think, yeah.
Just for the fact that...
Yeah.
You could... And that one supports 19 cards.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And the powers. Yeah, the power's done correctly on that to build like this ultimate thing, so.
Yeah. I don't know if there's a place for this.
Yeah, so it's just funny looking, if anything. I think it's really funny. Kind of Colorful.
Who would have thought that this stuff would get made?
Mining's big business. I mean, that's, yeah. I mean, people are buying.
Yeah. No, stuff. I get it, but just who would have thought, like,
yeah,
just a few years ago. You know what's interesting? It only has a single Ethernet connector, which, you know, all you need is one, but what happens when that one dies or whatnot?
Yeah, you can't sacrifice a PCI slot either, because there's not... Is there a single 1X slot on here at all?
No, I don't see anything.
No, so you can't really do anything. You got a USB Ethernet at me.
Yeah, that's not going to be good for your mining.
Yeah. That's so funny.
What does it have? Is 1 gigabit? Okay.
Yeah.
You would have thought they would have gone with at least 2 1-gigabit ports.
Yeah. This is like a... this seems more of a concept, but it's a real product.
Yeah. Let's see. What's the price on this thing? Is it available now?
There's a product page. I don't know if the price is on there.
Oh, there it is. No price. And is this available in the United States?
Probably not.
Yeah.
There's no place to buy these either. Why not? Like, let's see here.
Just like some dude they just like let him play.
Yeah. So you can't. I can't find. Like, if I go to Google Shopping, I can't find it.
There's only the one board that they ever made, and that's the one pictured.
Yeah, so no word on price. It can't be all that expensive.
No, because no miner would buy it. It's all about, you know, cost. So
yeah,
when you're already buying those $900 GPUs.
Yeah, no word on price. But it seems more like a proof of concept board than like an actual retail board. Because if you think about it, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
No, because
even for
really,
mining,
there's not really a need for it.
Well, I mean, even for mining,
that's
it
what
doesn't.
I mean. No one in mining is asking for that board.
Yeah, so I think you're just trying to capitalize on the mining thing.
Yeah, Because it takes up just as much space as like putting your cards in a rack, right?
Oh yeah,
it really doesn't do anything for you.
It does nothing. It creates a heat problem, if anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
it sit a couple of, like, turbines on either side of it.
You know, I know. I would love to see somebody do a build with this. Anyways, we'll talk about what we have coming up next week. Then we have some really cool stuff. So first, I'm taking a look at the Kingston KC1000. It is their M.2 PCI Express solid state drive. This is Phison E7 based. So you're looking at really fast speeds. I got the M.2 only version. So it does come with a half height, half length adapter. But I don't need that. but they do have the version that does. But it's, you know, we've reviewed a handful of these Phison E7 based M.2 drives super fast. This is the next generation of really hard drives, and these are becoming more affordable as time goes on too.
Pretty quickly, actually.
Yeah, so like the 240 gig version of this is $169.
Yeah. Which is not bad.
Yeah. So they sent me the 960, which is $552, but you know, these are going to be the new generation of things. And this is why you're seeing multiple M.2 slots on motherboards. You know, this is the way to go. It's just super fast.
Throw these in and rate them and have a good time.
Yeah, these are just super fast. Like, it's just, there's no question about it. They're awesome.
Yeah.
So taking a look at that, and then I'm taking a look at a custom PC from AVA Direct. We took a look at their one of their HTPC systems a few months ago, and they asked me if we want to review something else, and I said, send me something more powerful than that, because that thing was basically made for 1080p gaming, home theater PC use, stuff like that. I was like, send me something badass. So they have these new BattleBox systems. They have a lot. The one that they sent us is Ryzen based, so it's AMD X370 BattleBox. But it has some really awesome hardware inside.
Yeah, what'd you get it spec'd out with?
Ryzen 7 1700X, GTX 1080 Ti, 16 gigs of memory, M.2 SSD, Samsung. It's in the NZXT H440, I believe that's the case. And they did custom RGB LED strips inside and custom sleeving on the cables. Nice. So this is like a complete custom PC, super high-end, really great system. You know, if you're not... if you don't want to build your own system, or you don't know how to do it, or whatever the case may be, this is going to be a viable option for you. And the system runs great. I have it sitting here beside me. I was finishing up my benchmarks. So really great system, really great build. You know, not a lot of like AVA Direct branding on it either. You know, so it really looks like yours, and looks like your build. It's a sweet build.
You built it.
Yeah, I mean, It's just a nice build, and it's like I said, they offer this BattleBox Ultimate in any configuration, all the way up to X399, X299, and then you can do it in AMD X370, Intel Z370, and I believe they even offered in B250, and what's the Intel H270? I can't think of it.
No, I'm not sure.
But they have it in every price range. Like, you can get this, I think, at the lowest cost for just the BattleBox system, I think, is, let's see, I have it here. The Intel, the BattleBox Essential, which is the H270, starts at $1,299. So, again, you can build a pretty sweet system through them, you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely.
And then they have the BattleBox Essential AMD B350, which starts at $1,279. So it's totally configurable. You configure everything you want in the system as well.
Yeah.
So if you need more memory, you want that. If you want a better graphics card, lower graphics card, you know, different motherboards, like, you can configure pretty much everything with these. So it's pretty cool.
I'm clicking through here because I'm playing with what I'd want. It's pretty easy. It's really easy to configure and use.
Yeah, so AVA Direct, like I said, they're really getting into the whole gaming, building gaming machines. for you. And like I said, everything came great. Nothing was ruined. They include all the accessories, so like the extra stuff, like the extra cables for your graphics card or your power supply, like all the stuff they include. So if you wanted to upgrade in the future, you wouldn't have to like, oh, I don't have this cable. I don't, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Everything. That's cool.
Yeah.
They have everything available too. I mean, like, this is a one-stop shop. I did not realize this.
Like, yes.
If you are getting into gaming, they can set you up with absolutely everything you need, from the tower to your mouse, your keyboard, router, everything. That's pretty crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, they can pretty much do, you know, you can get the whole thing. Like, you can get your monitor from them, you can get your keyboard from them, everything. You can even get, like, a VR headset, like, literally everything they can.
And they got good stuff too.
Yeah, they can spec you out with whatever. So if you know your parents are like, we'll buy you this, spec it out, like, you can really spec it out. Like, you can not just get the system, you can be like, well, so they have it, so I'm gonna get the monitor, I'm gonna get the gaming keyboard, I'm gonna get the gaming mouse, I'm gonna get an Oculus, I'm gonna get a webcam so I can stream, I'm gonna get they have the Asus RTAC 5300. Which is like, it looks like a spider. It's like a crazy router. I'm gonna get that. I'm gonna get this awesome printer they have on here as well. Like, there's a lot you can do with this. That's really cool.
And it only takes like one swipe of your parents' credit card.
Yes, totally. And it came quick too. So,
nice.
And the whole process, like it, the whole process was like, you know, it was like I was a normal customer, so like I got the email when the system was built, I got the email when the system was shipped, like all that kind of stuff.
Nice.
So they keep you updated. It's a really good service. So
yeah,
I'll be taking a look at that, and then I will be doing part one of the ultimate RGB build.
It's gonna happen.
Which you've known about for a long time.
Yeah.
But the last parts came in this past week, so I just have to take pictures of all the parts and do all that kind of stuff, and then we will be putting it together and doing the series, and I'm super pumped because I need a new computer. not that I need it bad, it's just that, like, you know, like every so often you need to like just format your system and I haven't done that in a while on this system. I had my AIO die, and then I've been running air cooling, which isn't the best on this. You know, there's just like certain issues, you know, and I've just like,
I mean, you build so many systems, it's like, you know, like build something for yourself, right?
We don't
necessarily like build nice PCs for ourselves because we're constantly tearing things apart.
Yeah, and like this had lasted me a long while. This is an Intel high-end desktop system, X79. You know, so it's old, but it's got the job done pretty well. I use it for my main rig and the editing rig for video, and it's done a good job, but it's time for an upgrade. And what was great about this is that I had this idea, you know, RGB was like the big thing. It's still, I mean, obviously it's the big thing, and I want a PC that I can really show off, because this is looks like a black box that I have, because I really didn't do anything special with it, right? So I had this idea. I want to build this ultimate RGB rig. What components have RGBs on them that, you know, like, because everything does now. So get all these awesome components, build this awesome high-end desktop system that's going to replace my current high-end desktop system, and just make it this like ultimate RGB thing. And it kind of, we reached out to some companies and we got some stuff, and we're ready to build it. So it's going to be awesome.
Nice.
I'm super excited.
Yeah, I'm excited for you.
Yeah.
And I'm excited just to see what you come
up with. And hopefully my monitor doesn't just shut off. That's so weird. I have literally no clue what happened.
Nice.
So yeah. So we I'm super pumped to get that started. So that is what is going on. And then we at the end of the podcast, we talk about our week. If we did anything cool, or fun.
Did I?
Yeah, this week.
A couple geeky things this week. I watched the new Mummy movie. I have always liked those movies. I don't know about you, the ancient Egypt thing.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of it. And this movie was like, man. It was about a
6
out of 10.
Yeah. I saw it as well.
Okay. Worth watching. I think they missed a lot of opportunities with it. They could have done a lot of cool things, and they kind of lost the story.
Yeah, I kind of felt like that as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I would still check it out if you're into that. I mean, why not? Yeah. The other thing I did, I actually started playing a new game, Watch Dogs 2. It's been installed for about 6 months on my computer. I finally double clicked.
You're testing a keyboard, though, are you?
Yes, I am testing a keyboard. Yep. So it was nice to start a new game. I rage uninstalled PlayerUnknown's Battleground. I've had enough of that game.
I almost bought it the other day, but I was like, I'll wait till I get the new system built first.
Yeah,
there's no point. And yeah, I would really like to start streaming. We'll like have a Think Computer stream or something on Twitch. Like, I'd really like to start doing that.
Yeah.
It's just the time, you know.
It's got to choose that. That's what. You
yeah,
want
but
to do
as it starts streaming. Getting colder and not nice
easier.
Out,
yeah,
it's easier to do that. So maybe coming holiday season, we'll do some stuff, and maybe we'll do some giveaways on the stream and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, get some multiplayer stuff going.
Yeah, yeah, and we can still play. You can still play Payday 2. You know,
I don't think I'm playing Payday 2 again.
Why? Because you're horrible at gaming.
Well, besides that,
Derek's really bad at gaming. So
I'm not bad at games. Okay, I'm bad at the games that Bob plays, and that's all he sees me do.
Yeah,
I can be good at games.
I will be getting Star Wars when it comes out.
I was thinking about that, but then anytime I think about a new game, I remember like the 40 games in my Steam library that I've not yet played. At all, so
that's true. So we'll try to get some gaming going on as it gets closer to holiday season. So can't promise anything, but
for sure
that'll be fun. But for me this week, I went wakeboarding, which I feel would be the last time I'll be going. Just because I'm so busy and it's like the weather's changing,
well,
obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
It's
hard to plan, is really what it is.
Yeah, so it's nice to get on the boat one last time. I had a lot of fun. And then I did a little project. So we are doing, again, the ultimate RGB build, but I'm also doing, I wouldn't call it the ultimate RGB desk because I could crazily RGB this thing out. Yeah. But I wanted to do some upgrades that complemented the new system, right? Mm-hmm. Just different things. And one of the things was getting RGB LEDs behind my monitor. And I did a little project where I got a $12 kit off of eBay. Mm-hmm. And it works perfectly. And there's certain things you have to keep in mind when doing stuff on the back of a monitor, going around corners and doing things like that. And this kit is a USB kit because I have USB ports on my monitor. So I have no extra wires going down or anything like that.
Yeah, it does look really clean.
Yeah. So I put a video. It's out on our YouTube. I'll link it. You know, we have that video, but I'll be doing an article. I might finish it this week on kind of that just whole little that little upgrade process of that because it's $12. I mean, it's really not expensive.
And those kits are like dirt cheap.
Yeah, and for what it does, and it's like a soothing thing too. Like it, according to people, like it helps your eyes as well. If you have lights behind the display. Yeah.
I did not know that.
So if you're looking at a display a long time and you kind of get like a headache or something, it's supposed to help you. That's what they say.
I should try that because my eyes get messed with a lot.
Yeah. Like I'll give you the link to where you can get the kit. It's super easy to install. And like I said, it does make a big difference.
It certainly like really improves the ambiance of your space. That's for sure.
Yes. Yes. And I put some pretty epic music in the video to accentuate that. So
yes,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, so definitely check that as well. That's the cool tech things I've done this past week. So yeah, that's kind of it, guys. We will end the podcast here. As I always say, just Think Computers, all one word, on your favorite podcasting software. Super easy to find. And we'll have our full show notes page that has links to everything. So when I'm like, check it out, you guys can go ahead and do that. So until next week, catch you guys later.